Hey guys, we're the Hard Time Strongman podcast, training up a better class of men. And today we are going to talk about the sweet, sweet sound of silence. But first, some housekeeping. Brandon, Ethan, thank you guys so much. Y'all keep the lights on. Y'all stick around for the post show. But it's the end of the episode. This week's episode is on silencing yourself and your equipment. Sound discipline, you know? I don't know. Maybe you don't. That's why you're here. So here you are. You know, I'm really pulling at the edges here. I could really use some help. I've been throwing out lines and you're just watching me suffer over here. So thanks for that.
I'm just listening to you not taking advice for the episode's even title, and you're just like continuing to just ramble on. What are you doing?
I want you to know, when you do this, everyone else suffers too.
Do they?
All 12 of our listeners suffer. Today, guys, the episode is silence. There you go.
Yes.
Congrats. You dick.
Oh my God.
I hate you.
That was painful for me, so I can only imagine how it is for them.
They probably made a max of 30 seconds. There's no one listening right now. They clicked off.
So if you're still here, we're talking about silencing yourself and your gear. I don't know. Like, for those of us who are in the military, it's pretty self-explanatory when you say light and noise discipline. That is exactly what it means. Like, you don't want your light going out. You don't want to be making a lot of noise. And part of what makes a lot of noise, whether you believe it or not, is your gear. You know?
So, well, the whole thing with sound and light discipline is, if you are doing cool guy stuff with your cool guy friends, the enemy is going to see or hear you. So, especially at night, everything's more quiet. Lights gone dark. So light discipline, obviously you don't want to be, you know, shooting out a white beam of freaking light so everyone in the brother can see you. If you're looking at a map or looking at documents, it's gonna be under a blanket or something with red light. Like, it just basic stuff, right? Make sure that all of your light caps are on, whatever. But specifically sound discipline, sound travels farther at night, it seems like. Everything else is quiet, so you could hear a freaking pin drop.
How far can you hear? Birds.
I should have had the table. I should have pulled up the table. It must have been episode 2 or 3.
Oh, it was a while ago.
If you guys look back, yeah, it was situational awareness, the five senses. And I actually dipped into the FMs and I found a table for like how far we can perceive light, you know, at night under different conditions, and how far you can perceive sound under different conditions, like metal on metal, you know, conversation, that kind of stuff. And it's pretty darn far. This kind of thing is important. I don't know if y'all remember a few episodes ago, I once again told the story of, we had a light infantry dude who worked with us, and he said, y'all are so loud and you don't think about it, right? Because, you know, at least that's not something that a normal person thinks about when they're just beep bopping around doing their thing. But when you are trying to, you know, conceal yourself, conceal your presence, it's a big deal. So hunters know this especially well. It's a big deal when the thing that you're hunting is freaking on condition red and they're just trying to survive, right? So if, you know, if something can hear you, then you done screwed up, Aaron. So that's what this episode's for.
Yeah. So let's get into some of the ways you can actually silence your stuff. Because I don't know, on the military side, we know, not 90% of it, it's it's duct tape. Let's be fair, it's duct tape. You're going to be taping things together or taping things to other things.
Hella tape.
Yeah, hella tape. Hella 1,000-mile-an-hour tape. But there are different methods of... I almost said taping things. But that's not what I'm going for. There are several different ways of actually silencing your equipment. So the first method of silencing your gear is compression. So when we talk about compression, we're talking about just using like compression straps or sacks on your loose gear that's sliding around and bumping around in your pockets, pouches, or rucks. So the method of this is to just hold something to something else. You know, it either binds everything together or it takes it and binds it to like your ruck. You know, it's essentially just taking a tourniquet and wrapping around something onto something else.
So good example, right? So on our rucks we had the sustainment pouches on the side, which were, you know, nice big solid pouches on either side of your ruck. You could, you know, throw all your odds and ends, all that stuff in there. However, when you were doing stuff, you had to cinch down because there were, I don't know what the connector is, but you know, like where you feed 550 cord or you know, like shock cord through the, you know, through the eyelet, and then compresses it with the button. Oh. You can either open it or close it. You know what I'm talking about? The cinch closer, like the cinch button, right? So you have to cinch all that down. You hit your quick release buckle, strap that down, because the thing is, if you put a little amount of equipment or stuff in that pouch and then you just leave it all loose, it's going to flop around. It's going to hit, it's going to slide. And that's what's going to be loudest 9 times out of 10 is just fabric sliding on fabric, right? So if you can limit that, if you can, you know, torque down on those compression straps or like weave some 550 cord, you know, behind the molly panel, then tie it down, it's going to cut down on that stuff a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, it's the same. It's throwing a huge tourniquet around your bag and strapping it to the back. It's not a move if it's compressed onto it. It's just, you're not going to make it out whatsoever. The next is
also, sorry, I was going to say one more thing. Another reason why I like compartmentalize my stuff in my ruck. So I'm a big fan of like the gallon Ziploc freezer bags, or you buy like your standalone compression sacks or, you know, waterproof sacks. But, you know, compartmentalizing your stuff, getting nice and compact and just compress, you know, especially if you have like several quick release buckles or straps that you can cinch down on the sides and then stuff those, you know, into the perimeter, into the, you know, the footprint of whatever bag that you have, then it's, you know, like stuck in there by friction. Then you can strap down the outside and you have one, a much smaller package, two, you know, you're protecting, you know, your stuff individually, but three, you don't have a lot of stuff just be bopping around.
Right.
That's going to, you know, slide or hit, especially if you like try to go through a doorway or like through a vehicle. If you just smack the head of your ruck or a pouch or something, you know, on the side, a chair or whatever, it's going to be loud. So if you can keep all that stuff closer to center, you'll be a lot better off.
And that's what we talked about before in under episode, especially on rucks. I think did lead was like, don't want your ruck all big and bulky and like just like hanging out there. You want that thing as compact as possible because that's a lot of weight that hangs out on the sides and away from your body. You want that as close to you as possible. That way it's not like pulling on you, because that will seriously wreck your back if you're having to like readjust.
Yeah, it's not
great.
We're not 0304. Anymore, we can do better.
So true.
Moving on, taping. I am a huge proponent of taping your equipment. I tape the crap out of my stuff. Specifically, what I'm referring to is taping like your metal on metal contact points. whether your that is tag. In whether that's your dog tags, your ruck, your rifle, keys. Or, I mean, crap, man, you think of a thousand different things that are going to be clanking together in whatever bag or pocket that you have. But all this does is that whether this is, you know, like you said, 1,000 mile an hour tape, whether this is Ace Wraps, hockey tape, Coban, you know, a sock, whatever, you are just covering all this metal surface area so that when it hits something else, that's metal, it's not going to make a huge sound signature. Okay, so a recent modification I did to my equipment is like my e-tool. So I took Coban, black Coban, and I wrapped every single inch of it that I could that wasn't on a joint. And one, a lot easier for me to hold. Two, whenever I open it up or break it down, it's not, you know, just, you know, tearing the place up. But I mean, hell, I've done that with like the connection points on my sling. I've done that, you know, obviously with dog tags. I've done that with, I mean, what, man? Different parts on your rifle, anything that you can think of that's going to be metal on metal, you can tape it. And it's going to help, especially the older dudes with like the Alice packs, you know, where you have like a metal frame. I tape the hell out of it. I tape the whole thing, even before you assemble it. I tape the whole thing. Why not?
One thing that my drill instructors hammered home during basic was our assault packs. All those straps after you cinch things down.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
So you roll those suckers up and you tape them once you get them like all the way up to the gold. Because for one, and this is my biggest pet peeve, because I can't tell you how many times I'm like in the airport traveling and somebody walked by me with like a freaking assault pack, whether they were in or not, and they just got this like surplus, or if it was like shoot to them, whatever. They walk by me and I just see these straps just dangling, and something in me causes my eye to start twitching.
You just want to grab it.
Just want to get them, like, dude, tape your straps. Like, what are you doing? You look like an idiot. Come on. But no, like, so the main thing about that is, so number one, yeah, okay, it makes it look way more professional. It's not just like dangling and flapping in the breeze, but number two, this is probably the biggest thing, is it's not going to snag on anything.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to shut in the door. You're not going to sit on it or stand on it or whatever.
Exactly. Thank you. Exactly. And you could be through the brush and it could snag on some trees and like all of a sudden it's like gain you back because it's on some freaking trees or whatever. Exactly.
So that's, well, the thing is, there's no point to it. There's no point in them.
Yes. Yes.
You know, like you said, when you're adjusting your pack for the first time, you can see how far you need to let the straps out before you can take it off. Right? Mm-hmm. From that point, okay, if you're borrowing the stuff, like if you're in the Army or LEO or whatever, yeah, you know, roll it up and tape it, okay, because you don't want to pay for that. If you're not, if you bought that thing, cut it.
Cut it off. Yes.
Cut it, singe the ends, call it a day. Like, there's no good reason to keep all that extra fabric. I can't think of a good reason at all.
There's not, unless you plan on like completely going like letting out that strap the entire way. There's no reason to keep the excess. You know how much it's gonna take, like you said, to be able to successfully take that off. Right. Like, at its worst.
And I know people don't like to modify their gear. I know it freaks people out. Like I was messing with my pack the other night, and I could see my wife like kind of twitching because I was cutting off the side pockets, like the canteen pockets, because I'm like, I don't even use these and they snag on everything, and it pisses me off every time. And so I was just like taking my razor and just going down, cutting him off. And she was just like, but why? You bought that just like how it was. I'm just like, yeah. I don't want to change it. That's why I love being there when someone paints their rifle for the first time, because I see a little part of them break and it really makes me happy.
Oh, dude, I can't
just modify your gear.
What?
Do it.
I can't tell you how it was for me to paint the 300 blackout. Oh, it was rough.
Yep.
It was very rough.
But you remember it's a tool now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then once I got that out of the way, I had no problem painting my Grendel that has Radian furniture. Like, no problem painting that.
Yeah. It's meant to be used.
I literally paint everything. Everything in my safe.
It's not a safe queen. Like, I paint everything. And it builds your confidence, too. So, like, you know, I've talked about the Shusugibon method of treating wood where you scorch it and seal it and everything. And ever since I learned how to do that, ever since I've done to my first axe, any wood tool that I have, any wood handled tool that I have, I do it immediately. As soon as I bring it home, I scrape all the wax off, I scorch it, and then I throw some linseed oil or boiled linseed oil on it, and I call it a day, because it's gonna hold up. The very first one I ever did, heavy use, and it's like life has not touched it. Like, it's, yeah, it just works. So there's no reason not to.
Because everything did made the wood chemically inert, which is awesome.
Yep. I love it.
And yeah.
Third method.
Anyway, third method, wrapping. So, one method you can do is you can take loose, small pieces of gear or oddly shaped gear and wrap them up in socks, shirts, or any other fabric to keep the items together. This will prevent loud contact points, and it'll help to fill void space in pouches or rucks. Because if you have never ranger rolled anything, you will never truly understand what it is like to fit as much stuff as possible into a fucking backpack or rucksack or anything. If I opened up my ruck now, everything in there is ranger rolled. Everything.
Yeah.
I don't care how flat you make your clothing. It will, in my opinion, it will still take up more space than if you ranger roll them.
Well, and my thing is, like, you can throw a shirt, boxers, and socks in a Ziploc bag with everything ranger rolled. And that's one day. And just that's
one day.
Just stage it all. And I know that's a little bit of the tism, but it's a part that I'm guarding. So I'm going to hold on to that. I don't care what anybody has to say. as far as, like, oddly shaped stuff, I mainly threw that in the show notes because I remember on my left side, I had the canteen pouch with the actual canteen cup, which everyone's ever used a USGI canteen cup. It freaking sucks. Okay.
It's terrible.
It's a piece of crap. They never should have made it. But I used it to protect my nods. Only problem with that is that the canteen cup is metal and very freaking loud. So
very loud.
What I would do is I took one of my issued socks, I cut it in half. I crammed the canteen cup in the sock all the way down. And then I folded the remainder of the sock inwards, like on the inside of the cup, so that the entire thing was encased in fabric. And then I could put my nods with the J-arm and everything in there, and it wouldn't move around. It wouldn't be loud. I could just, you know, click the top on, you know, cinch it down, and I was good to go. But you can do that for, you know, pretty much any batteries, any loose stuff, like batteries, stripper clips. I mean, help me out here, man. What else? MRE innards, whatever. Yeah, any extra stuff that you have, you can do this.
And another of the good reasons why you did that, and I know why you did that, which is awesome and I applaud you for, is that as crappy and as old as those nods were, we still had to use them. And we're going to have to use them. We might as well protect them and keep them, you know, as functional as possible. So by putting in a fabric liner, essentially, into the canteen cup, you're not having metal slamming away against other metal or even plastic or even glass lenses. Because that J-arm, if you got the crappy, you know, basically eBay version that they handed out at CIF sometimes, or even your unit, like, metal on plastic is going to damage that. So by having that liner in there, you're protecting your equipment from being damaged. And most importantly, you're protecting the eyepiece, the glass on either side, from being scratched on that metal.
Yep.
So there's no reason not to. This equipment costs, like, some of it, like, thousands of dollars. You might as well protect your investment. It's just common sense.
1,000%. Did you have anything else for silencing your equipment?
Honestly, no. I just want to reiterate, and I didn't get the table pulled up in time, but sound does travel really, really, really far. There have been times in real life I've been walking through the woods with I've been out camping with friends. I didn't need a flashlight. They were at the campfire talking away. I could see where the light was from that. I had a general direction. And then I heard them talking. And just like talking like you or I, that stuff travels so far. Coming back from getting water, I knew the trail, but I didn't really need to know it. I just followed the direction of people talking, and I eventually found my way back to camp.
Well, yeah, and it depends on your environment. You know, so like heavily wood air is not going to be, you know, it's not going to travel as far over snow, over water. I mean, it's going to go far, way farther than you think. And also, the whole thing is, so like we're really nailing down like metal on metal contact. That is going to be the absolute, you know, worst. That is such a distinctive sound. Like you cannot mistake that when you're out and about. Velcro, hook and loop closures, super distinct sound. You cannot mess that up. You know, zippers, you cannot mess that up. So all these little things. So I would urge you, think just like as you're beep bopping around day to day, whether you're in the field or not, just listen to yourself. What makes sound? What doesn't work? Okay, so we talked about compression. We talked about taping. Okay, so your keys. Okay, your keys rattle around in your pocket. If you have a lighter in your pocket, your keys rattling against your lighter in your pocket. If you have, you know, big baggy jeans or like you wear scrubs and you have like these huge cargo pockets, if things are beep bopping around and, you know, slamming into things or slamming into doors or walls or whatever, like, yeah, that's where you're, that's going to be the got ya spot, is where stuff isn't contained, isn't, you know, hugged to the midline. And if you're over 30, you're screwed anyways, because your knees are going to pop, or your ankles, or your elbows, and they're going to hear you. Ankles,
shoulder, neck, jaw. Yeah.
There's not much that we can do about that. I kneeled down for too long the other day to talk to my 2-year-old. And when I stood up, my legs were numb. So it's going great for everyone who's wondering.
Yeah. Well, tell me about it. If I sit in bed with like my legs crossed for too long while I'm watching TV with my wife, and then I go to get up, my knee's locked up. And then I start bending it slowly, 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 and it just pops into place repeatedly. It is the
literally last night. Literally last night, I was talking to my wife, and I was like kneeling down, and I stood up about like 3/4 of the way, and I just took a breath. I was like, oh, I hate this part. And then I like kicked my leg out. Both my legs popped. My vision went white. And my wife's like, you know, that's not healthy, right? Yeah.
Really? What do you want me to do about that? You know? What do you want me to do? please, yeah, Army. I want to hear your freaking solutions to this problem, because this is a problem and I want a solution to it. I'm listening all ears.
Double knee replacement at 31. Guys, we are the Hard Time Strongman podcast, training up a bear class of man. Patrons, stick around for the post show. Everyone else, thanks for joining us. This was Silence. Until next time, stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight.